Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is kind of an explanation of the prophecy that Jesus read in Luke chapter 4. He read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So instead of focusing on the bad response that Jesus got to that message, I want to focus on the message itself. And I really, the more I thought about it, the more I saw that the explanation of that promise that he said was fulfilled is found in the Beatitudes. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Dear friends in Christ, when we look at the Beatitudes, and in particular the entire Sermon on the Mount, people often view that as the greatest sermon ever preached, and they usually have two reasons for that. Number one, it perfectly defines who a Christian is, and then it challenges us to live that way. And kind of the more I thought about that, the more I thought about the doorbell at my house. Actually, I have two doorbells. There's one that was with the house, and then there's one that's like a Ring doorbell. I mean, probably some of you people have those. It's not a Ring doorbell. I didn't want to spend the money for that, so we got the cheaper version, okay? Which is basically the same thing. It's a video. And so if someone comes in the area around in front of our house, the video turns on, and we see who it is. And particularly that when they come to the house and ring that bell, then we see their image on our phone or our iPad or whatever, and they can speak to us through the microphone in the doorbell, and we can speak to them through our phones. And they have this kind of a little plus, a little bonus, and they have these kind of automatic answers. I think we have three of them that kind of come with the thing. And it covers about 90% of the contacts you have coming to your house. And it's a question, and it's a command, and it's a promise. The question is, "How may I help you?" Which is really, "Who are you?" Okay, that's really what we're saying here. And the command is, "Please place the package at the door." And the promise is, "We'll be there soon." I kind of want to program a fourth one, a threat. You know, "I have pressed 9-1. If you do not leave the premises in 5 seconds, I will press the second one," or "I have a dog," or something like that. But anyway, we have these automatics, so if you want to press them, you know, and, you know, we mess around with it. If Nathaniel comes to the house, you know, "Please place it at the door," that kind of thing. But again, we have those things, and I kind of see how they relate to the way we relate to the Beatitudes. We'll look at the Beatitudes as a question. Who are you as a Christian? Are you a peacemaker? Are you humble? Are you merciful to others? Or, as we heard in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, are you a light that's shining on a hill? Are you doing those things? Well, not really, you know, not the best. You go through the Sermon on the Mount, you hit chapter 6, and it sounds good for a second. Jesus says, "Don't worry about anything." Oh, good, I don't have to worry about not being any of these things perfectly. But then Jesus says, "Don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat." Well, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the fact that I'm not keeping these things. And then we hit chapter 7, and that's the threat. Jesus says, "On many of those who come to me will say, 'Lord, Lord,' and I'll say, 'I never knew you.'" Ouch. Okay, so as a question, it's not that helpful. So how about for a command? We say, okay, since we're not doing that well in respect to the Sermon on the Mount, let's just try harder. Just do it. So be a peacemaker. Be merciful to others. Be a light that's shining on the hill. And to help us do that, what do? We'll put these words in a frame and place it on our wall, or we'll laminate it and put it on our fridge, or we'll put it on our phone. So it's always in front of us, so we always are reminded we need to do this. Maybe even buy like a journaling Bible with the wide margins, right? So we can track our journey to sainthood. And by the time those margins are filled, what do we have? A whole lot of fear and frustration and failure. The only one that's really going to help us is the promise that we have in this text. And it's a living promise. It's really interesting. If you look at these Beatitudes 3 through 10, they're bracketed here. 3 and 10 both are in the present tense, okay, right now. And everything in between is future. That's what makes it a living promise. It's present and future. The thing is, it's so easy for us to slip back into the old way of thinking about this. Just take one of them, right? Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And the way our minds, at least the way my mind works, I think, okay, so if I want to be shown mercy, what do I have to do? I have to be merciful. That's kind of putting the cart in front of the horse. In fact, we're almost assuming by thinking that way that God withholds his mercy, or Jesus does, until judgment day, and then he kind of tallies up how merciful we've been, and if we are enough merciful, then he'll give us mercy in return. And if we hardly have any mercy at all, then we won't get much mercy. It's kind of like a pour-over coffee maker. You know, we got one right over here. You might try the coffee afterwards. I made it, all right? Now, if I made the coffee, you know, it's two cups in each thing. If I made the coffee with half as much water, is that going to be very good coffee? Well, if you like espresso, I guess it would be, you know. But it's going to be a little harsh. What you put in is what you get out. We really can't think that way about Christ's relationship with us. I mean, tell me a time in the Gospels during Jesus' ministry where he treats people that way. Where he comes to the man who was born blind. You want your eyesight? Absolutely, I do. And then Jesus says, well, okay, you got to tell me how merciful you've been, and if you're enough, then I'll show you some mercy. He never does that. He doesn't do that with us. He didn't do that today, this morning. At the start of the service, what do we have? Confession and absolution, right? It's not a tally of how good we've been, and then we get in return. We confess that we aren't good enough, and then he forgives our sin. That's a living promise. And what's really important to understand it and to see it as a living promise is to understand who Jesus is primarily speaking to. He's not speaking to the crowd. They hear this, what he's saying. He's speaking to his disciples. And the words he speaks is not how they're going to measure up. He's speaking words of joy because he's explaining to them how he has made them a new creation. He tells them in the present tense, the kingdom of heaven is yours. And then he tells them everything in between. And these are all the promises that will be yours as well. Now, since Adam and Eve, God has been making that promise. All through the Old Testament, all through the prophets, he makes that promise. And the promise is, I'm coming soon. I'm coming to the door. And in our gospel text today, Jesus says, it's happened now. I've come to the door. I've unlocked the door. I've opened the door. I've welcomed you into the kingdom. I'm not coming soon. I'm here now. Now, really, the two challenges that we have, that being the case, is number one, becoming more and more aware in faith that this is true, that what Jesus promises is true and what that means for our lives today. It means we're children of God because of Jesus and because he says so, because Jesus did come, did give his life on a cross, did rise from the dead, and now we live in that promise. I thank God that what Jesus said in our gospel today, especially he set those who were in prison free, is true of us today. Because now we are free to live as he calls us to, out of joy and thanksgiving for what he's done for us. I pray that we live this day and every day in that promise, rejoicing in a promise that is today, tomorrow, and until the end of time. In Jesus' name, amen.